Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Chapter 38. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stopped. The word of the Lord, the word of God. Let us read Psalm 107 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hand of the foe.
Gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some went down to the sea in ships, plying their trade in deep waters.
They beheld the works of the Lord, God's wonderful works in the deep.
Then God spoke, and a stormy wind arose, which tossed high the waves of the sea.
They mounted up to the heavens and descended to the depths. Their souls melted away in their peril.
They staggered and reeled like drunkards, and all their skill was of no avail.
Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
You stilled the storm to a whisper and silenced the waves of the sea.
Then were they glad when it grew calm, when you guided them to the harbor they desired.
Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people.
Let them exalt you in the assembly of the people. In the council of the elders, let them sing hallelujah. A second reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. For as we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of the righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as yet unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our afflictions, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Storms come in many forms. In the ancient world, there were two locations of great danger, where death was a high probability. Both the desert and the sea were dangerous places. They are bad enough on their own. But if a storm kicks up, the risk rises substantially. So when Jesus and his followers get into their boats and head across the sea today, as fishermen, they're confident enough. When the wind kicks up and water starts to swamp the boat, that is a whole other thing. It is flat out scary. It is dangerous. Fear can grip one. 3 years ago, Missouri received a reminder of just how dangerous storms on the lake can be when the duck boat sank on Table Rock Lake. There are ways that modern experience is not so far from first century experience. Such events leave people scarred with grief and loss. So when the disciples see Jesus asleep at the back of the boat, they wake him up and they ask the question, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, Molina and Rohrbach, in their social science commentary on the Synoptic Gospels, they point out that this question is not one of identity, as modern hearers might understand. It is not a question about whether Jesus cares or not, as we hear it. Rather, it is a question about where Jesus is in the order of being. You see, they understood such storms to be caused by spirits and demons. The question to Jesus is really, how does your power, your authority, measure up against that of those forces that brought this storm on? Now, being landlocked, the danger of water remains for us on the rivers and on the lakes, dangerous enough. However, there are other storms as well. I recently started thinking about the great smog of London in 1952. It was December. There was a collision between weather events and conditions and burning coal for heat and manufacturing and some other factors that, quite frankly, get more technical than we need to do right now. But all of those conspired to bring this smog down on London for multiple days. It was blinding. The toxic cloud infiltrated buildings. Initial estimates were that 4,000 deaths in 5 days as a direct result. Later estimates have doubled and tripled that number. It was a storm with massive consequence that initially looked benign. In these parts, residents know other kinds of storms, tornadoes, what the book of Job calls a whirlwind from which the Lord speaks, and severe thunderstorms, derecho, ice storms, straight line winds, blizzards, deep snow, they all present travail. One could argue that global viral pandemic presents as a storm in the lives shared. Certainly there is direct health concern for those who get sick. Some live with long-term disabilities. Some perish. The economic impact has affected individuals and businesses and governments at all levels. The psychological and mental health effects of the pandemic will become more and more obvious, both in the depth of the storm and even as communities move beyond the stringent restrictions. Some have died by suicide. Some live with grief over loss of loved ones, whether by COVID-19 or other diseases during this time. Some grieve not being able to gather for funerals and celebrations of the love that they have shared with their beloved ones. Some have become anxious and fearful. Others are impatient. Some are overwhelmed with responsibility. Some have given up on taking any responsibility. And for all those possibilities I have lined out, many, many more realities exist. For children and youth, as well as for teachers and administrators, this past school year has been a trauma of untold consequence. Some have managed well. Others have, in fact, flourished in this new medium. Others have struggled massively, even dropping or failing out. What has been true in school systems has also been true in the ministries of the church. The storm that has been this past year has been particularly trying because, like the great smog of London, it was not always an obvious threat. It affected different people differently, and the long-term effects will not be known for a very long time. What I know is that, like the disciples in the boat, there is fear and anxiety and panic and frustration to go around. Perhaps there have been some whose prayers sound like the plea from the disciples of Jesus: "Don't you have the authority to stop all this?" Or, as the disciples put it, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" In truth, God can calm the storms. One way to calm these storms is not about waiting for God to make them go away. Rather, the key is to trust that Jesus is with us, accompanies us. God has also given resources through science and knowledge and millennia of growing wisdom to make good decisions amid the storms of life. To be sure, some will be impatient, others will be cautious. As the body of Christ, the faithful walk together, trusting Jesus. Today, the church hears that Jesus indeed has authority over nature. This is a sure sign of his divinity, as has been expressed in Job. Jesus has authority over creation, over the weather, over land and sea, stars and the very deeps. Jesus does not exercise that authority by human command, but by God's grace. The faith of Jesus' followers is one that trusts Jesus during the most tempestuous storms. As the church, indeed the whole world, continues its journey beyond the storm we have known as COVID-19. The faithful are called to trust that Jesus accompanies all creation. Christ is here. By the grace of this loving God, the faithful are called to respond to one another and all we meet with the same grace shown us in Christ.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.